Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to September at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. We'd like to talk with you about it, whatever it is, and the phone lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. And we invite you to call right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or an issue you're dealing with, we'd like to discuss it with you right now. So call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us. And, Andrew, we're going to talk about a verse that's one of our favorites today as we start our broadcast. It's out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7. And we're just going to read verses 23 down through 25. And after I read it, let's just talk about exactly what this means. It says, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So here we see the completeness of our salvation in Christ Jesus. And we see that when we draw near, and it seems like that phrase drawing near, as the writer of Hebrews is using it, means our response of faith to the good news of Jesus. But this is a powerful passage concerning our assurance of salvation and all that we have in Jesus.
Yeah, when you were an Old Testament person living under the law, you might know your priest. He lived down the street from you, and you knew his name, and you knew his family, and well, you watched him grow up, perhaps, and he represented you. But then one day something happened, and he passed away, and there was a replacement needed. And then year after year, or decade after decade, as decades and centuries pass, these priests would die, and then they'd be replaced. And that's what this passage is saying about the Old Testament priest. But then here comes Jesus, and death cannot hold him down. He lives eternally. He resurrected from the dead. He represents us today. And then it says, because he's eternal, because he lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. And then I want us to notice, Bob, that it says, because of the length of Jesus' life, because he endures forever, because he's eternal as our priest, then he is able to save us completely. Now, you know, there was a period in my time, in my life, where I thought, I gotta do right and be right and act right and keep up my end of some bargain in order to stay saved. And what this is saying is, wait a minute, it's not about how you're living. It's not about your consistency, your obedience, your ability, your works. It's not about you and your living. It's actually about the length of Jesus's life. And this whole thing hinges on him. Because he lives forever, he's able to save us completely. And when we realize that, Bob, you know, we stop examining, how am I doing? How am I doing? Have I done enough lately? Have I kept up my end? Is God pleased enough with me? Am I going to stay saved this week? We get to instead put the whole burden of our salvation on Jesus and say, wait a minute, he lives forever. He's my priest forever. I'm forgiven forever. I'm saved forever. I'm righteous forever. And it's all because of his life, not my living.
Absolutely. And I love how the writer of Hebrews goes on and shows kind of the compatibility that we have with Jesus. Now that we've been saved completely, we have been totally identified with him. And so the writer says, as far as our high priest is concerned, he was holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And our connection with Jesus, all those things have become true of us. We have been made holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are blameless in his sight. We have been cleansed. Our consciences have been cleansed from dead works so that we can serve a living God. we are separated from sinners. We've been called saints. And that is that separation that God has made through the shed blood of Jesus. And we have been exalted above the heavens, as Paul said in Ephesians 2:6. We are already seated with Christ in the heavenly. So all that Jesus was, through faith in him, he has passed those on to us. And so we are like him in this world. And that gives us even more confidence that this salvation that he has brought to us is a complete and an eternal salvation.
Yeah, I love what you're saying there, because I think a lot of Christians, we miss it. We say things like, God's looking at us as if we're righteous. God's looking at us as if we're blameless. And it's almost like we're conveying that God is tricking himself, that he's pulling the wool over his own eyes, that he's wearing some special Jesus glasses that kind of distort his vision. But if he were to take those off and see us as we truly are, then he might just vomit. He would get sick at what he's seeing. And, you know, if you live that way, then you're basically saying, well, I'll be truly different later. I'll be different in heaven. I'll finally get that new heart at the pearly gates. I'll finally get that new nature, that new spirit later. But in the meantime, at least God looks at me as if I'm a new creation. And, you know, when you really dig into the New Testament, guys, you realize, wait a minute. No, the message of the gospel is, I'm born again now. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm holy and blameless, not because God's faking himself out, but because he's actually transformed me at the center of my being where Christ lives. He's made me new, and that's real, and that's now, and knowing that really matters.
Yes, it does.
Bob and Andrew, everything that you're saying plays right into something I'm going to talk about right now, and this goes out to our listeners as our thanks for your support. We want to send you Andrew's video series called Clean and Close. Now, in this series, Andrew brings encouragement to believers who may be feeling distant from God, maybe feeling unclean and unworthy. But through this series, Andrew wants you to know that by God's grace, we've been qualified. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been made clean and close. We're sure you'll enjoy hearing and learning more from Andrew through his passion for the grace message. So when you get a chance, drop by BasicGospel.net and make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep this good news coming every day on the airwaves and online. And we'll say thanks for your support by sending you Clean and Close. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net and request your copy by digital download, by DVD, or USB thumb drive. Your choice. Clean and Close by Andrew Farley, our gift of appreciation to those of you who support Basic Gospel. Again, just click Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, the lines are wide open, friends. We want to hear from you. Come on and be a part of this live edition of Basic Gospel at 844-322-2742. If you live in the U.S. or Canada, that's a good number, 844-322-2742. And if you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, perhaps some life issue you're dealing with, a great opportunity to speak with two of the very finest grace teachers of our time, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. Once again, that number, 844-322-2742. Guys, in the meantime, a question from Joseph, who dropped us a line from Hazard, Kentucky. He says, thank you for all you guys do for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've helped me so much over the past year and a half that I've watched you. Would you give me a little insight on Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11? What is the context, and how does it relate to us, the church, today?
Yeah, well, this is that ask and seek and knock passage Jesus is talking. He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then we get into the goodness of God. Look at this. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So I think there's a real clue. We can't forget where this is. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. It's before the cross. It's before the resurrection. And he has said, you are evil. So he is speaking to the Jews. Jews, before Pentecost, before the born-again experience, they are not children of God like we are, born of the Spirit. This is something they can anticipate through the finished work of Christ. But in context, guys, I mean, you know, everybody knows the Sermon on the Mount and what it says. Jesus has already called them hypocrites, essentially. You're judging each other. Get the plank out of your own eye before you look at the speck in somebody else's. And then after he's done with almost three chapters of pointing out hypocrisy and the inability to keep the law, then here's the sales pitch. And it's a beautiful sales pitch. Hey, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. And they don't fully understand this yet. I mean, he's basically saying you can expect something awesome from your heavenly Father. You can expect something incredible from God when you truly seek him. Guess what? The door is going to be open to you. You're going to enter into a promised land of abundance in Jesus Christ, and it's going to be incredible. But they had to confront their hypocrisy first. They had to admit their sinfulness and their spiritually dead state, and that's the first intention of the Sermon on the Mount, and it is capped off, Bob, with this beautiful invitation.
Yeah, I love how you couch that there, Andrew, and it really ties into a parallel passage in the book of Luke. And Luke gives us some insight as to what this gift from God the Father is actually going to be. In verse 13 of chapter 11, he says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children." So we see it's the exact same conversation. Well, here in Luke, he says, "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So what is the good gift that's going to come to those who seek God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son? It is going to be the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see that happening in real time in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, first for the Jew and then to the Samaritan in Acts chapter 8 and then to the Gentile in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius. So this gift of the Holy Spirit is meant for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. That's the gift that we receive. And that's really the heart and soul of this clean and close idea, isn't it? The fact that we now have the Spirit living inside of us as children of God.
Yeah, and I love that he doesn't just leave them desperate. A lot of people, you know, they're starting to understand what we've been teaching for decades about the Sermon on the Mount, that, hey, if you were to summarize this, my goodness, it's a killer sermon. It is absolutely going to be nails in the coffin for anybody who thinks they can obey the law. Cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, be perfect, go get right with your brother before you offer your animal sacrifice. Anger equals murder, and looking with lust equals adultery. I mean, nobody makes it out of this sermon alive. And then at the end of the sermon, he gives them this glimmer of hope. He's saying, but wait, there's an answer to all of this. Look to your Heavenly Father. Call upon the name of the Lord. He will open a door of grace to you, and that's going to be the solution to your hypocrisy. That's going to be the solution to your spiritual death. You need the grace of God, and that's ultimately where he takes this.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, and Joseph, glad to hear from you. Thank you for posing your question from Hazard, Kentucky, and we hope you'll keep listening and call again. Right now, friends, the lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, both in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And guys, from Sharon in Fort Smith, Arkansas, a question. She says, "I am reading Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I absolutely love it. My question is on the flesh. Jesus came in the flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus told the disciples to watch and pray because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So is flesh used two different ways in the Bible, both physical and as a way of thinking?"
It's a great question, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, we would shout a resounding yes to her question. There are two different uses. First of all, flesh can mean the body. And when we talk about our bodies, let's be careful. There was a group 2,000 years ago known as the Gnostics, and even an early form of Gnosticism that was pervading the early church. And they were teaching that the body is evil, the body is bad, the body is sinful, and God never goes there. He never tells us anything remotely like that. In fact, in the New Testament, we find out that healthy Christianity is saying, wait, I'm going to offer my body to God because it's holy and acceptable to Him. So let's keep that in mind and recognize, yes, there's one use of the word flesh that simply means this physical shell that we live in, this body that we dwell in, and it's presentable to God. It's holy and acceptable. Then we've got the other definition of flesh, which you would find, for example, in Romans 7. You've got this stinking thinking. You've got this fleshly attitude, this fleshly perspective, this worldly way of thinking, and you can set your mind according to the flesh, or you can set your mind according to the Spirit. So it's like two different operating systems. Back in the day, we used to use analogies like, well, it's like a PC or a Mac. Now, we don't want to offend anybody, do we, guys?
But, no, heavens no.
But, you know, it's kind of like two different operating systems on a computer. You've got the flesh system, and then you've got the spirit system. And, you know, sometimes you, even though you've got new hardware, shiny, new, beautiful computer hardware, you still have out-of-date software. You need software updates. Maybe you need to change the whole system of software and then get updates. Well, that's God renewing your mind. You've got new spiritual hardware, but you're still getting your mind renewed. And that's where you start thinking new thoughts of the Spirit, and you start abandoning old thoughts of the flesh. So, yes, in summary, there are absolutely two definitions for flesh. One of those just refers to the body, which is acceptable and holy, and then the other definition has to do with these attitudes and actions that the world taught us when we were unsaved. The world taught us these ways of living, Bob, and then we get saved. We get a new heart. We get a new spirit. We got God's Spirit living in us. But that doesn't mean that all of our thinking instantly changed. My goodness, we're still learning and growing, right?
Yes, indeed. And let's take it one step further, Andrew, to Paul's discussion of this in Galatians chapter 5. If you will walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So he seems to say that as a child of God, we can still have desires of the flesh, but we don't have to try to get rid of those desires. We don't have to try to suppress or constrain those. If we simply walk by the Spirit, then we will not be gratifying the desires of the flesh. Give us some insight on exactly what Paul is saying there.
Well, I think we can become infatuated with our struggles. A lot of people define themselves by their struggle. In fact, I would even argue, Bob, that there's a strain of Christianity where people are saying, well, I just want to be real. I just want to be authentic. So here's who I am. And then they start to unfold what a mess they are. I'm just a mess. I'm a failure. And I want you to know it. And I'm just being transparent and authentic. And I'm a failure. And I'm a mess. Well, God would say, hey, wait a minute. Some of your thinking may be a mess, but you're a masterpiece. You're a new creation. And so how about you fix your eyes on Jesus? How about you walk by the Spirit? And then you're setting your mind on things above. You're setting your mind on truth, and you're setting your mind on healthy, positive views of who you are that are in agreement with what God says, instead of saying, look at me and my track record of failure. Look at me and all the things I've done wrong. Look at me. I'm a horrible mess. No, God is saying, you're a saint, not a sinner. You're a saint who sometimes sins, but you're not defined by what you do. So, look, Bob, I think we would all agree, yeah, let's admit our failures, let's admit our wrongdoings, but we don't camp there, and you're not going to benefit from just inspecting the flesh. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. There, you can never go wrong.
Absolutely. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And, you know, October 15th through the 17th, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley are going to be teaming up for a Bible conference immersed in the grace of God. It's going to be the first time through this ministry that we've gotten together since before COVID, of course. And I think it's going to be a wonderful time, and we want you to be a part of it. United, October 15th through the 17th, right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. All the information and registration is available at basicgospel.net/United. United. Again, that's basicgospel.net/United.
And just a point on that, we're getting some registrations now. It's starting to fill up. Seats are being taken. So there are a limited number of spots. We wish we could just have the whole world come and hear this good news about Jesus. I think that would just be tremendous. But we are, with the venue we're in, there's a limited number of seats available. So don't miss out on securing yours. So go to our website, sign up as quickly as possible. Come join us. It is going to be a barn burner, as we like to say, down in the South. So we want you to come and be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about October 15 to 17. It's right around the corner, just a little bit over a month away. And, you know, maybe you've it's been a while since you've congregated with other believers, especially like-minded believers who love and celebrate the finished work of Christ. Boy, we're going to be shouting from the rooftops this beautiful message, the basic gospel, the message of grace. And to do it in this way together, guys, it just doesn't get any better than this.
Absolutely. And once again, all the information and registration at basicgospel.net/United. Well, guys, from a New York listener, where do tithes come into play under the new covenant? I love to give my 10% to my church and to give wherever else I feel led. Also, fasting with prayer. What about fasting? Am I stuck in law by practicing these?
Yeah, well, you know, the truth of the matter is you look at the New Testament and this word tithe appears about five times. And when you look at the instances where it shows up, it's really revealing. Matthew 23, Jesus is chastising the Pharisees. He says, you're tithing your spices, but you've forgotten about the rest of the law. What does that tell you? Tithing is part of the law. And so they were doing their tithing, but they were neglecting the other parts of the law. That tells you tithing is a part of the law. Well, hey, some great news here is that we're not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for us, and we're free from the law and dead to the law. And that's what you see again and again in Matthew and even in Luke, this same idea. He's talking to Pharisees. He's showing them their hypocrisy. Even in Luke 18, this gentleman says, I fast twice a week and I pay tithes of all that I get. And you know how that goes. Anytime you're bragging about how much you're doing with God, he's going to say, wait a minute, have you done this? Yeah. And then we never meet the standard of the law. And that's the whole point. So, you know, when you look at tithing in the New Testament, guys, you see that it's non-existent. There's no admonition to Christians to give a certain percentage. We get to give freely from the heart. And whether it's food and drink, well, that's not what the kingdom's about. We've got freedom there. And whether it's giving money or not giving, we've got freedom there. We get to be motivated from the heart. Grace giving and grace living. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about for sure. Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Bob, for these wonderful messages of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a message it is. And for those of you who call, thank you for being a part of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you that the listener line is always open for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Well, friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. We need your help to ensure that the message continues on the air and online. Donate now or anytime when you visit basicgospel.net. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew's excellent video series called Clean and Close. Again, make your donation at basicgospel.net and help us keep the message going across the country, around the world. And Basic Gospel, of course, continues day by day to proclaim the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and grace. Well, now for Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, for Greg and Coleman, for Michelle and Vivian and Stephen and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.